Hey, thank you for your wonderful welcome again. It's always lovely to be here. I stay at the Skems, and it's like my second home here. They just throw me the key. They say, there, and you know where you are upstairs. So I'm good. So it's really great to be back with you and all of you young lives and a little bit older lives and all of you and those of you online. Bless you. Father, thank you for this morning. And as I come, Lord, I ask as what I share from your word and out of my heart this day would flow with what has already been happening here in your presence. And that you would touch our hearts and again change our minds and bring us more into that wonderful place of freedom in you and provision in you, and that we might walk in obedience to you wherever we are in our life. Amen. As I've prayed, as I always pray to come anywhere or go anywhere, and as I was again sitting here this morning, sitting here yesterday through the covenant group as well, just asking the Lord, you know, what do you want me to say? And you get a lot of great teaching here. You have a lot of great teachers in the place. A lot of people, you know, kind of like the Richies and Joes, all of you, and are people who come. And so often when I come, you know, there is some sort of teaching that I want to bring you and fit in with that. Sometimes when I've come, it's like I come and I have a message prepared before I come, and then when I get here, it goes out the window. This one's not exactly like that this morning, but there's a little bit of it in there. However, as I've been praying, I felt the Lord share some things with me, just some pointers. And you will probably know many of them, and they will be like hopefully refreshment for you. But I just want you to hear them this morning from a fresh intent, I think, from the Father's heart that he wants to say to you. And let me start off by saying, you know, if you and I are going to flesh out, you know, in terms of fulfill God's calling for our life, it's imperative, you know this, but it's imperative that we engage and submit to the Holy Spirit's promptings in our life. That's key. And to engage in a way whereby it's a choice that we make. And it's not a choice that I just make on Sunday here. It's a choice that I make in every department and every fabric of my life on a daily basis. Therefore, if we're going to flesh out these things of God that God's been speaking to us about, it's imperative in a sense. It's like it's key to walking in the Spirit that we hear God and obey. So hearing God and obeying God is really the only way that you flesh out the things of God. Training won't do it. Training will get you knowledge, get you equipped, but it's only hearing and obeying that actually makes it work. And so in a sense, hearing and obeying the promptings of the Holy Spirit, and for us to make a choice that we want to do that daily, it needs to be a top priority for us, but it actually needs to be an intentionality. Like we have to give our attention to it. There's a lot of things that take our attention. But if we don't give intentionality to hearing and obeying, it'll never work. It doesn't happen. So I want to stop right there for a moment. And I don't want to embarrass anyone, but I wanted to say this. If you are struggling in hearing God, right? For whatever reason, hearing God, all I want you to do, very quickly, I want you to stand up where you are, and I want to pray for you right now. If you're struggling hearing God, those of you around you, Those around you, don't pray, just put your hand on them. Quick, quick. Just move, put your hand on them. Because if we're going to walk in the power of the Spirit, hearing is important and obeying is equally important. So right now, Lord, across this auditorium, right now, and online, right now, Lord, I want to pray right now that you would break off, whatever impediment there is on my brother, on my sister, on those online who are standing, who are acknowledging that they're struggling in hearing you. Break it off. Smash whatever it is. Open up what needs to be opened up. Free up what needs to be freed up. And bring for them a fresh presence, fresh understanding of your word. Whether it's through the mind, the heart, the spirit, whatever promptings that they need. And we ask this right now in Jesus' name. And we all said, amen. Amen. You may be sit down. I believe that the Lord wants to surprise and astound us this year. And not only this year, but in the days ahead. So hearing and obeying is crucial. I believe he wants to show us more of himself and to lead us into greater works of righteousness. Greater works of his presence, of his provision. In spite of the seeming like imploding world around us. Remember, dawn always follows what? Darkness. And let me just say this to you. Don't get caught up in fighting the darkness. Switch on the light. Improve the light. Focus on the light. You know, we are the only ones with a promise about the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Luke, I think it's 17, 20, 20, 21, something like that. For the kingdom of God is what? Neither low here nor low there, but the kingdom of God is within. The kingdom of God is among us. Now that's a promise to everyone, not just me, not just the learned, but for everyone. Whatever your age is, the kingdom of God capacity in Christ Jesus is within all of us. And it's not over there and it's not here. We share it. And as when we come together, that's why a corporate expression of the anointing of the power of God is so crucial, because of the kingdom. And if we want to have it here, we have to get back to what I said before when I started. We have to flesh it out daily. The reality of it. You know, again, I want to say this. God wants to manifest his being God through you and I. Ponder that statement for a moment, would you? God, the creator of the world, of the universe, doesn't want any other way to do this, but he wants to manifest himself being God through you. Do you find it a little bit daunting? But it's true. That's what the Bible says. Whether you're young, well, whatever age you are, that God has chosen us and he wants to manifest his being God. There's no other religious deity, so-called, that wants to do that. But our God wants to do that. I think that's profound. That he could do everything himself, but he wants our cooperation so he can manifest himself being God in this world through you and I. Two very specific words, I believe, that the Lord wants to share with me to share with you this morning. Two words. The first word is this. And when I got this, I went, oh, Lord, I'm not too sure I want to say this. Because I know these words have a boomerang effect. You know what I mean? I'm going to have to walk this as well. My first word is to you is this. Look for Jesus in the interruptions. Come on. All of you 8 personality people. All you know, cholerics and some of you melancholies even. Don't upset my world. You people who are laid back, oh, that's cool, it's okay. We'll get there. God, I think, is saying to me to tell you, he wants to Jesus wants to interrupt you. Now, of course, I'm not saying here that all interruptions have this potential, but just don't dismiss interruptions. Don't consider them troublesome or just inconvenient. Why? In the Gospels, Jesus was often interrupted and the kingdom of God broke into people's lives big time. Often, he's more in them than in our plans. As I said already, I believe he wants to surprise us, astound us even, or amaze us in these coming days. And many of Jesus' teachings, right, many of his healings, his miracles, was in a response to interruptions. Interruptions, and when those interruptions happened, the kingdom of God came breaking into people's lives. Because of an interruption. Darkness is overcome. Miraculous provisions were provided. Individuals were set free, healed, delivered, restored. Lives were dramatically turned around and changed. Society witnessed through ordinary people like you and me the bursting in of the kingdom of God. And they saw the kingdom of God coming through, God being God, through ordinary people like them. And they saw and helped in the process of that, the dead rose. The blind saw. The deaf got their ears open. People got delivered. People were willing to give this away. A block of ground, a house. People were willing, not only that, they were willing to be bold in God. Stand up and speak for God in fresh, dynamic ways. Courage came to them. Change came to them. So you want courage and change to come to your life this year? Let him interrupt it. Much of Jesus' ministry consisted of him stopping what he was doing, right? Whether he was walking, talking, whether he was eating. And then he began to converse with the people. Then his compassion rose in him. He can care for people, and through this interruption, God began to manifest himself in dynamic ways. Like the woman with the issue of blood. Remember that? Mark chapter 5, verse 21. She interrupted Jesus as he was responding to Jairus, remember? And Jairus was an interruption as well. And so, you know, she, you know, he was going to the synagogue ruler Jairus to basically heal her daughter. And so this woman who's had the issue for 12 years, she just interrupts Jesus. Now, not only was Jesus in that interruption, he was already interrupted to go there, but he was interrupted again. Double interruption. Jesus was not fazed. He was patient with her. He even commended her in terms of her urgent reach of faith for Jesus. In fact, it's the only place in the New Testament where Jesus actually uses a very familial term. He calls her daughter. Daughter. That's how much he loved that particular interruption. Jesus was and is the interruptible Savior. Turn to someone and say, Jesus is the interruptible Savior. Perhaps it's time that we begin to follow Jesus' model and welcome interruptions and begin seeing them with fresh eyes of faith, like he obviously did. Not rushing past them or brushing them off or maybe even completely ignoring them. You know, I said to my wife this last week, we only have the Gospels because we have an interruptible Savior. So in these interruptions, what do you do? Well, be prepared to stop, ask, and ask these things. Just if you don't know what to ask, just say, Lord, where are you in this? Just ask the question, Lord, where are you in this? Here's an interruption in my life. Show me. And I'm telling you, this is why hearing and obeying God is so important. You want to move in the Spirit of God? This is what you need to do. One of the things you need to do in your life. Allow him to interrupt it. Allow him to speak. Allow him to move in it in a way which he had obviously done so in giving us the Gospels. Otherwise, we wouldn't have them. Now, I also want to say this, that the other thing when that happens and he begins to show you what's going on in your world, what you have to do is then step out in faith in that. Be prepared to step out in faith. Be prepared to stop, ask, but also prepared to stop, to, you know, step out in faith. Now, I'm as guilty as the next person in what I'm about to say, okay? As his followers, we shouldn't rush past these sorts of things. But today, I think, for me, Christians allow their phone, right, to continually interrupt their life. Oh, that we would let the Holy Spirit do the same thing. Ouch. You know? That we would let him do the same thing as we let our phone do. If we don't let the risen Jesus frequently interrupt us, it's easy for us, brothers and sisters, to fall into a very powerless religious lifestyle. Having the form, but lacking the power. And that's what Timothy says. Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:5. And by the way, can I say this is it's not just a straight away falling away, it's a slow drift. It's a faith drift. We heard of mission drift. Well, this is faith drift. You drift. So as Jesus did, are we prepared to look for ministry opportunities through the interruptions of our life? We all have them. We all have interruptions. And what if these interruptions are just a part of God's plan? Maybe they're just part of God's plan. Or maybe, you know, maybe they are God's plan for you. God, you're interrupting my schedule again. What's going on here? So let me say again, look for Jesus in the interruptions this year. See them differently. Ask the questions. See what he wants to share with you, say to you, do through you. Look for him in them. Don't brush them off. Don't ignore them. We have the Gospels because we have an interruptible Savior. If we want to move in this power of the Spirit, we need to allow that Spirit to interrupt us, that we can move in it. Because God wants to manifest himself being God through you. Regardless of where you are, school, college, in the home, whatever you are doing, he's the ever-interruptible Savior. He wants to be in your life. The second word that I had is this. One word from his presence, one word from his glory can change everything in your situation. The second word he told me to say to you, one word, just one word from his glory can change everything in your circumstances. If you allow those interruptions, and that one word to be spoken, God will amaze us with what he will do through us. One word from his presence. In the Gospels, just one word from him ushered in change. That's why hearing and obeying and stepping in faith is crucial. Because we can all get words. We can all read words, but will we act on those words? Oh, what about if I fail? Don't worry about that. That's called trust. Someone said to me, Ben, years ago, just step out. And I said, what if I fail? He said, how tall are you? I said, oh, then I was about 6 foot. He said, well, at least you'll get up and you'll be 6 foot further along. In the Old Testament, we read how when Jacob stopped grasping for control of his life, there's a story in the Old Testament, many of you have read that, when Jacob wrestled, God then changed his name, you remember? But when Jacob stopped grasping grasping for control of his life, because that's what we have control of everything. And so when Jacob stopped grasping for control of his life, having then wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night, finally his eyes were opened. Finally his eyes were opened. Then all it took, when that happened, all it took was one word from God, and everything changed for that man. His name changed, his life changed, and generations of people after him changed. Can I say to you today, generations after you can change if that one word comes into your life and it's incarnated in you by the Spirit of God. It might change your life, but it also will have a rippling effect on others as well, beyond you. And in Jacob's situation, theologians of old, they believed that that was the pre-incarnate appearance of Christ he wrestled with. We can only surmise that. 400 years of silence between the Old and the New Testament, right? Zip, zilch, nada, nothing. No sound from heaven. And then, one word from his glory. One word from his glory, what happened? Changed. Eternity changed. Mary gets a word. Joseph gets two words. One and another one. The shepherds get a word. Before all that, the angels got a word. Go down. One word. Let me just briefly, in the time I have, let's consider one of those stories just a little bit more in depth for you. And we all know it. If we've been around church for a while, around gatherings like this, you've probably read it, even your own readings. It's found in Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 to 13. I'm talking about one word. One word. Let him interrupt you, but one word from his glory can change everything in your circumstance. And in this particular passage, it's about the centurion who came to Jesus and asked him to heal his servant. You know that story? Well, now, this story is quite a remarkable story. It is an amazing story. I don't have time, and it's not the reason I'm using it to go into detail to bring that the depth of that out, but it's a remarkable story. But let me lift, just briefly, I want to lift three things out for you in terms of one word, three things. First, this man, this centurion, he understood authority. So if you're going to get this word and have this word, first thing, you have to understand the authority of that word, where it's coming from. You can't just match other authorities with it. This word has authority. Now, for this centurion, it takes a real humility for a leader, any leader, but a leader like a centurion in that day and age, to admit that they don't have it all. And this centurion knew that he didn't have all the answers. So he approached, in a sense, he knew about Jesus walking around doing this thing. So he thought, well, he obviously does. So he had this ability to approach someone like Jesus who had the capacity, he thought, that could say something and his servant would be healed. And so he went looking for Jesus. Now, that's extraordinary in its own sense, because culturally that's against what he should have been doing. It's a servant, for heaven's sake. He's a centurion officer. Officers don't go looking for someone to heal and look after their servant. They just move that servant aside and do what? Go find another one. So it's just, as I say, it's an incredible story. This centurion, like we need to understand, he accepted the fact that his own authority and his abilities had limitations. He understood who had the ultimate authority. And he didn't mind letting others see the limit of his authority through his visible act of going. That's humility. We need a good dose of that type of humility under the right authority of God. And like him, we need to accept that our authority over our life has limitations. No matter how easy it is, we get told or we claim that we can do almost anything. The world keeps on telling us we can do almost anything. And there's a measure of truth in that. But really, you know, ultimately, we have to admit to ourselves that we cannot do everything. And so this centurion knew, I'm going to go to someone who has that authority. Therefore, remember, in this word that I'm talking to you about, one word changes from God, one word changes your life, one word can change your circumstance. Remember the humility of the centurion. One word from Jesus to that centurion changed everything. One word from Jesus to you can change your circumstances if you let him interrupt your life, if you let him speak into your life. It did it for him, but you're going to exercise obedience, but you have to recognize the authority of that word. You can't just go balancing another word and other words to it. It's either his word, his spirit. Second part of this, one of the word is, words have power and they carry weight. Words have power and they carry weight. I don't know if you've ever considered how profound the statement is, the centurion's response to Jesus in verse 8 of that particular chapter. Jesus said to the centurion, he said, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. So this centurion knew that this word from this man, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, this interruptible Savior, just one word from him, just speak it and it shall be. And the story in the Bible says, as soon as Jesus spoke the word, what happened? The servant was healed. Now, that centurion didn't know that. He had to walk in the faith of that word until he actually saw the evidence of that. You and I have got to walk in faith in that until the evidence of that word spoken materializes for us. There's a real lesson here also for us. And that is that when we get put into positions of authority ourselves, will we actually remain humble? Often I've seen people pushed into positions of power and authority and influence and they lose that humility. Never ever let positions and roles stop you from humbling yourself before God or anyone else. The centurion, I mean, he showed all his men and everyone else that he didn't have a clue how to fix this problem. So let me ask you today. What word do you need today in your life from Jesus? What word? What word from God are you looking for in your life today? What need? What area? For just one word from his presence, just one word from his glory can change everything. But, like in the story with the centurion, it will take humility on your part to enter into that word, to fill that word out. Now, on the flip side of this understanding of words, what words will you speak out today in your life, into your world? Will they make those around you do what they can do best and fill out what God is speaking to them about? How will you use your words? Because your words have power. Your words have authority, depending upon your influence in the world of that other person. Are your words going to build up? Are they going to inspire? Your words going to inspire? Or are they going to be ones that tear down or crush or limit the capacity of those around you? What words will you use today? Third thing about this is that truth faith is about believing. Truth faith is about believing. The Bible leaves us in no doubt about what Jesus thought and said in response to the centurion, for he said to the centurion in verse 10 of this particular chapter, "Truly I tell you, I have found no one in all of Israel with such great faith." Jesus is telling us here in this story that the centurion's faith superseded anyone else's faith. This guy's an ordinary army commander. He's a non-Jew. Not important. In the context of the Jewish thing, he was just an ordinary person. So, you know, never ever count yourself out in God. Because I stand up on this pulpit or anyone else, it does not make them any greater than you. And Jesus is telling us here that this centurion's faith superseded anyone else's. Now, many may claim to have faith. Many around Jesus at the time claimed they had great faith. But Jesus actually didn't say to them, "You have great faith." He chose this man because he saw true faith. True faith. So it's more important what Jesus thinks about your faith than how you might elevate your faith to say how faithful you are. And we are called to walk in the authority of the word spoken from his glory, and it takes faith, real faith, to enter into that. To believe, to trust, and to walk. And you know what we do? We walk in the best light possible. You know what I mean by that? The best light of your intentions in God. And we were praying, you know, all those wonderful words you brought out this morning, Julie, in the context of this stuff. It's, you know, those things have been nailed to the cross in Christ. So we walk in the best light possible, and we exercise that faith, allowing Jesus to interrupt our life and allowing him to speak that word into us that we might speak that word, the Holy Spirit might speak that word through us. That's walking in the Spirit. You know, Jesus asserted this in terms of instructions to the centurions because he said in verse 13, "Go, let it be done as you believed it would be done." So in a sense, it comes back to when we get this word and words from God, is that we actually then believe that word from God and then we walk in that word from God, because that's what Jesus said. Go and believe. So when this interruptible Savior interrupts your life, he speaks that word or words to you to be able to enter into what that interruption's all about. That you exercise that, "Lord, where are you in this?" And you step into whatever he's showing you. That you do it with the faith, the belief that this is what God wants me to do. And move according to that Spirit that's directing you. That's faith in action. This centurion, ordinary person, a soldier, not a Jew, stepped in and went. And sometimes we wait too long and we get a little bit dry. Nothing happens around here. Well, that's because you probably haven't stepped into what God's already been telling you to do. You want another confirmation and another confirmation. We need to move as God calls us to move. I want to close by saying this. This fourth dimension I'm talking about in terms of the Spirit, this fourth dimension It's sometimes referred to as a river, the river of God. For this river of God, in terms of stepping into, it's a river of revelation. It's God's presence brings revelation, it brings purpose. It's a river of destiny. And the river story that Jesus wants to tell, he wants to tell the river story through your life. Through your life and my life. That this words from God could come to a shepherd, to a Joseph, to a Mary, to anyone, to a soldier, to an army commander, to a widow. And they believed and stepped into this river of God's presence, and it moved them. And as it moved them, God shifted things. And they believed. Because they stepped into the word that came from glory, they entered into that glory, not on Sunday morning or afternoon, but at home, in the street. You want to see the glory of God? Don't come here. Oh yeah, come here. But the interruptible Savior wants to interrupt your life. Speak a word into you that you might step into this river and then allow this river to take you and your story and make it his story and make history through you. There's a Greek philosopher named Heraclitus. Heraclitus said, "You never step into the same river twice." And I want to say this, and you never step into the river of God the same way twice. Because you stepped into the river yesterday like this, today you'll step into it differently. Just one word from this river, his glory, can change everything in your situation and mine. It can turn our mess into a miracle. But we can't play in the shallows of this river. Playing in the shallows with God does not cut it. We can start there, but we have to enter in. And it's great to come to a gathering and enter in a gathering, but what are you going to do in the street? What are you going to do on the train? What are you going to do on a bus? What are you going to do in your world when no one else is looking? What are you going to do in life? Are you going to get a word from his glory? Are you going to let him interrupt your world? Step into that interruption with you? And remember, you all read the New Testament. Sorry to focus on you so much this morning, but my heart's drawn to you in saying this. So I want to bless you with it, not singling you out at all. Sorry to the rest of you. You have the New Testament because men and women like you and I stepped into the river through the interruptible Savior. If they didn't interrupt him, we would not have what we read today and count it as precious. Playing in the shallows of the river won't bring the breakthrough that Jesus is looking for in our day and time. It won't produce the life that God wants you and I to live. And as you connect with this realm, the Holy Spirit dimension, this river, we need to take hold of his presence. And what happens, the waymaker of all waymakers is going to then begin to set favor on you. That's how you get favor, by stepping into this river in life. That's where the favor comes. doesn't come because you've got your own pious spiritual disciplines. They are good. They will get you somewhere. But the spirit of the river, the spirit of God, will take you there. Fill it out. He'll do it through you. And if we allow this interruptible Savior to interrupt us and speak his word through us, we will be amazed at what he will do. One word. One word from his glory. That's all it takes. Jono, you on the team? It can change everything in your circumstances. It's allowing the interruptible Jesus to interrupt your life, interrupt your world. Today, in the days ahead, I implore you, let the Holy Spirit amaze you. He wants to manifest, again, I say this, it just, when the Lord spoke to me the other day about this phrase I've written here, it just, again, humbled me. Ben, I want to manifest myself in being who I am through you. Like the centurion, I want to finish and say, it will take humility, the humility of that centurion, the humility of that synagogue ruler, Jairus, the humility of that woman who shouldn't have been in the presence of all those people, shouldn't have been in the crowd with what she was going through. And by the way, she should never have touched the hem of a garment of a rabbi. Humility. Do we have that humility? Do we want to walk in that humility? Are we prepared to ask, dare to ask, Lord, what are you saying to me? Are we prepared to let him interrupt us in our life, our plans, and understand that his interruption might be the plan? It's a choice. This morning, it's a choice. So I want you to close your eyes. And I don't want to embarrass anybody. And I want to say, feel free to kneel. Whatever. But are you prepared to say, Lord, I humble myself before you. I humble myself before you this morning. Lord, I give you permission. If you want to say this, say it in your own words, whatever. I give you permission to interrupt my life. I give you permission to interrupt my world. You have authority. Your words have power. I have faith to believe your word. Lord, speak your word to me so that Holy Spirit, you might speak the word through me, that my life might be evidence to the realization of the kingdom, that the kingdom might come and, Lord, your will be done through me, in my world, in my world. in my world.